What's up?
Domecast.
Domecast 2027?
Domecast 27, baby.
It's like 27 part one, practically.
Happy New Year, sunshine.
Happy New Year's.
The Earth says hello.
Yeah, welcome back. Episode 27 of the Domecast, baby.
Welcome to the mini episode.
This is like part one of the year-end wrap-up. We're going to do the big year-end wrap-up next week or something. With our buddy Justin.
Once we have our troops assembled, locked and loaded, ready to fucking roll.
But for today, it's just me and Gregor.
And we're talking about songs today, man.
Yeah, we're gonna kind of run through our top 10 favorite songs of the year. I got a couple honorable mentions I want to shout out, but I got a list of top 10 songs from 2020, the shit year.
I dragged mine straight from like Spotify. I have a playlist on Spotify of my top 50 songs of 2020, and I'm just literally pulling it right from there. So if you're do you want to do five honorable mentions?
Six, seven, eight, nine. I have nine honorable mentions. I just wanted to rip through.
Okay,
I wanted to give them a shout out.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Okay, I'm down for that.
All right, sick. Yeah, so won't really rip through like what we've been listening to recently just because we've been catching up on 2020, trying to get our year-end listen. I listen to 85 albums. I think you listen to 150?
151 or two. I'm still kind of – I have to do like a list by like a doc on Excel and just like direct compare to find out whether it was 151 or 152, which sucks, dude. That sucks because I was literally
it's such a crisp number.
Yeah, man. I was like,
dude, you're like, I'm not listening to anything else. I'm exactly 150.
I haven't listened to a new album since Playboi Carti because of that. Yeah. Because I was like, and then like I talked to this dude on Twitter, and he was like, oh, one of my top 10 projects is Andy by this guy. I can't remember his name. And I was like, I've never even heard of that. And he was like, yeah, he's an actor. He used to be in Game of Thrones. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I watched Game of Thrones earlier this year. It'll probably be, like, an extra. Like, it'll be, like, Deacon from season 6 or something. Or season, And I was like, okay. Like, I'll Google this music artist and be like, what actor is it? Yeah. It's fucking Grey Worm, dude.
Oh, shit.
It's Grey Worm, yeah. It's fucking Jacob Anderson. And he, like... Like, is that, I Googled it and I messaged him back and I was like, yo, this has blown my fucking mind, dude.
That's amazing.
There's no way. Yeah, he's in his top 10 albums this year, this fucking Grey Worm. So I wanted to check that out, but I was like, nope, I'm at 150. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And I spilled over. So yeah, I'm not going to talk about what new I've listened to. My new project would be Sufjan Stevens or Avalanches, but okay. I'm about to tell you about that next go round on the next podcast in amongst 150 other albums. So for the time being, I'll just leave it at the names.
Yeah. And, I was ripping through a shit ton of albums and probably my top new listen was the, Blue in Exile Miles.
That's a really dope album.
It was a dope tape. I checked it out like last week while I was trying to get my last list together. And yeah, dope fucking album. Dope fucking album. But
I need to listen to that, yeah. Because that plays high on my list. We'll get to that next time. Mm-hmm. But that plays really high on my list. And when I look back at it, I'm like, oh, like I went to make this 150 playlist or whatever. I was like, what was on that album? And I just like went to my review. And I like took my favorite songs from that and I just re-listened to them. And I was like, dude, like this shit is like something special, dude.
Yeah, it's a fucking fantastic album. But yeah, and we wanted to shout out MVPs. Do you want to do that at the beginning?
Yeah, I don't like have a list. So this is going to be entirely off top / off the dome low, bitch. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like the ones that I keep seeing online is people are giving Lil Uzi MVP this year, which, you know, he dropped two huge albums, but I thought they were not good.
Coldy James is better than Uzi.
Yeah. See, like my MVP of 2020 would be like the Griselda guys.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's kind of hard. Like, if you're in hip-hop, like, then you're into hip-hop culture, it's kind of hard not to give it to the Griselda Boys.
I mean, if we're being honest, they have been the MVPs every year since, like, 2018.
Yeah, they're right. Doing wild shit. I only caught on to them, like, tail end of 19, beginning of 2020.
But, yeah.
Like, following them all this year, like, they're constantly dropping really solid projects. Like, they don't miss.
Yeah, Conway's dropped two EPs and a full album.
Mm-hmm.
And Machine dropped, that is Machine, Conway the Machine. Butcher has dropped two, I want to say. Burden of Proof, and then he did an EP. I have to double check that, I could be wrong. Yeah,
and then Westside put out Pray for Paris, and Who Made the Sunshine, and
Fly God 2 or Fly God 3, like another installment of, or no, it was... Fuck, it was Fly God is an Awesome God, too, if I'm correct.
Yeah, yeah. And then Boldy counts in there, too.
Boldy is my MVP. That's my
okay, favorite. Yeah. Christy in China is fucking phenomenal. That was right there with Blue and Exile on my, like, favorite new listen.
Boldy is number one because he's a rookie. He's been around for a couple of years, but, like,
He's only kind of catching that stride.
He blew onto the scene, like absolutely smashed onto the scene. And he has four projects, technically five. He has Price of Tea in China. He has a deluxe edition of that, which has another three or four tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Then he has Manger on McNichols, which is, like, people on hip-hop Twitter are kind of applauding that more.
Yeah.
People on hip-hop Twitter are applauding Manger on McNichols the most of his mixtapes. I haven't heard all of it yet, so I can't really say. I have a preference for Price of Tea in China. He has the Versace tape. And then him and Real Bad Man released Real Bad Boldy, which is, like... gangster rap. It should, like, it belongs in, like, the gangster rap deck. Like, it could, like, pass for a 90s mixtape.
Okay.
Yeah. And has some of my favorite beats this year as well on that thing, so.
Out of all of his tapes, I only checked out Price of Tea in China, but that's different. That's a different tape.
Check out Real Bad Boldy. It is 29 minutes long, so okay. It's not a big investment, and you don't need to, like, sit in a dark room with your earphones on, just, like, focused. You can listen to
awesome.
So that's a record. And Stove God is on there, which is, like, oh, Mayhem Loren is on there as well, man.
Okay.
Mayhem's, yeah, like, the second track.
Yeah, like, it's really hard to deny Griselda the MVP this year, like, as a collective.
I think it goes... Boldy James, I will be honest. So, man, I don't like doing this, but I think my number two is Lil Baby.
That's the same way, like, Uzi, because, like, Lil Baby has been fucking everywhere. I think he's hot trash.
I think he's, yeah, he placed without giving shit away. He's in my bottom, like, 30-ish. I remember when I listened to My Turn back in, like, March or whatever, whenever it came out, I was like, is it just me or is it not literally all the same song?
He's so vanilla. It's like Nav.
Yeah, it's a lot like Nav. And a lot of people are clapping for him. Like, the guys who did, Volksgeist? I think Volksgeist is a really reputable and respectable hip-hop journalism site. Put him in their top, like, four. Joe Budden put him in his top list. And I went through when I was making the playlist of my worst to best albums. And I listened to every song. And I didn't re-listen to the album. But I skipped, like, fucking 35, 40 seconds into every song.
Mm-hmm.
And no, dude, like, it is the same song, like, hella times. Emotionally Scarred is the best of them by, like, quite a lot, but still.
Yeah, I don't get the, like, Power to them, but like I just don't understand why so many people are riding with them so hard.
That being said, like I just said, he's my number two of the year just for his takeover. You know,
he's a big fucking name right now.
He appears on Pop Smoke's album. He appears on Polo G's, Lil TJ's, Jack Harlow's, the Jack Boys, DaBaby, Gunna, Future. Who is this? Bankroll Hayden? I don't know who that is. 6ix9ine, Young Thug, Nav, Rod Wave, Ian Dior, NLE Choppa, Mo Dirk, QC the compilation tape, Lil Bo 3.5, Ghetto Lenny's Love Songs from last year. Like I think there was probably close to 30, 35 like major rappers' albums that he was on.
Yeah.
And I remember I said this back when I was recording the Double XL episode. I think he was on everyone's album except for like Chica's and one other person. And I'm pretty sure it was Jack Harlow. And then Jack Harlow put out an album that had Lil Baby on it anyways. So he was on 11 of 12 freshmen's fucking albums.
Yeah, like it's fucked.
So for that reason alone, Lil Baby was everywhere. And I remember like back in like March or April, he went public and like on video was like, I'm charging $200,000 for a feature. I don't know if he actually did that or if it was just him like clout chasing or, you know, just like, you know, when like Edge was like, I'm the fucking champion, no one can take my title, I'm the beast. If it was just like a Brock Lesnar moment, if it was a Stone Cold Steve Austin moment where he's just like, no one's taking my crown. But if he did, then he made like absolutely fucking stupid amounts of money this year, and hats off to him. So I'm doing Boldy and Lil Baby. Top two.
Yeah, like
your top two.
Oh fuck! Like Griselda as a collective. If I had to pick one, probably Westside. I think out of that, like Boldy, obviously, but like I think Westside had the biggest cultural impact out of everybody there.
Gun is my number three.
Like Pray for Paris was huge, way bigger than I expected it to be. And Who Let the Sunshine's even getting quite a bit of love. Don't think it's as good, but or Who Made the Sunshine? But yeah, and then like I don't like him, but Uzi, or I like Uzi. I don't like his two, Eternal Take and Lovers the Little Two.
2.5 albums, yeah, because he did the Future mixtape as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Like, he did big numbers. Another person I would throw in there is who had huge cultural significance this year was Pop Smoke. I think it was one of the top five most. Huh? Russ?
Because he did two fucking projects. He's like on like a top 15. He's not in my top fucking.
But Pop Smoke. Pop Smoke is like one of the top five most streamed artists this year.
Yeah, he deserves that, man. Rest in peace, Pop Smoke.
Yeah. What was it? Shoot for the Stars and Land on the Moon, or Shoot for the Moon.
Shoot for the Moon, Aim for the Stars, yeah.
Yeah. Like that that tape did huge numbers and it's fucking solid. Like it's a good tape. Like
Yeah, I might have fucked up. I always fuck up the Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that I was looking at something earlier, and it was like Drake was still the most streamed artist, then Juice WRLD, and then like a couple others, and Pop Smoke I think was top five, one of the most streamed fucking people.
Dude, have we talked about how Drake has gone like 23 times diamond from Spotify?
Maybe not on the podcast, but we talked about that. Yeah, that's fucked.
Yeah, 23. Yeah, it takes 1,500 streams to equal a sale. Drake has done enough streams on Spotify to sell I think he's above that now, but he was 45 billion. 45 billion divided by 1,500 is 30 million. Divide that 30 million. So it's 30 million. 30 million is 30 million. That is three times diamond. 10 million. Not 23 times, but 23 times platinum. Yeah. 30 times platinum now, and three times diamond.
Yeah, that's absolutely fucking nuts.
10 million records to go diamond, and he's done it three times, Spotify alone. Now, what about Apple Music? What about his concerts that sell, like, 800 a ticket?
YouTube videos.
Dude, OVO sweater is, like, 120 bucks Canadian.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is in U.S., but, like the, yeah, Drake is just fucking Drake, man. Like, you don't really need to.
Insane numbers.
Yeah, you got
it. He had a down. He released Dark Lane demo tapes, which wasn't good, didn't get any love, and he still was the number one most streamed artist. That's fucked.
I saw someone posted the top five streamed hip-hop albums. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in there was Scorpion, which came out in 2018.
Yeah, like that's
2 years old. Posty was in there as well.
Yeah.
Posty for Hollywood's Bleeding, which came out last year as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always insane to me. I remember in 2018, one of the most streamed albums was Ed Sheeran's Divide. That came out in 2017. One of the top, I think it was top two or three. It might have been number one. Was fucking, yeah, dude, it was an album from the year before. That's fuck.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. But yeah, so I think those would be the MVPs. I think we both agree that the guys from Griselda did the most this year.
If I were to give a top five off the top of my head, I would say Boldy, then Baby, then I would say West Side Gun, then I would say Lil Uzi Vert, and then I would say fucking Big Sean.
Big Sean's one that I could see up there too.
Big Sean had one of the best career comebacks, put out his best album, like, for material. Like, if we're being honest, Detroit 2 may not be my favorite of his albums. I still have a soft spot for Dark Sky Paradise. Yeah. But just quality wise, it's his best album. And then he was like Baby, where he was featured on like six or seven other people's albums.
He was on quite a lot of shit. I fuck with that list.
Hit Boy is dope. Some honorable mentions, I would say Hit Boy did production for Nas and Big Sean, and then he did a collaborative mixtape with Dom Kennedy. So Hit Boy is an honorable mention. Daystar, Tory Lanez is Daystar. So, I mean, he shot Megan Thee Stallion in the foot, so fuck that guy. If that's true, if the allegation is true, which, you know.
It seems it is.
So, if that's true, fuck that guy. But he also had two albums that were, like, really, really good, especially if he didn't shoot Megan Thee Stallion in the foot.
Yeah.
Those land a lot better when he didn't commit a crime that makes him hated by the world. Russ is up there as well, and then Conway is up there as well, and those are my honorable mentions because I don't want to spend too much longer on it.
Let's rip through some songs.
Might be a tiny episode. We're only at like 19 minutes so far.
It's the teaser, baby. It's the teaser.
This is like the fucking
next time DLC. Is going to be a big one. We're talking about, you're talking about 150. I'm talking about 85. Justin's going to talk about 110.
So to anyone listening to this, that sounds like the worst fucking podcast. Like, there's no, like anyone hearing that is like, I'm not going to listen to that at all. It's not going to be like 6 or 7 hours. It is not. I'm going to tell you that
We're going to go through, like, if you listen to our top 100 episode, where like you get like one word, just even listening to it, you can be like, oh, MGK's Ticket to My Downfall, trash. That's all you're allowed to say.
Yeah. So like, we're not going to extrapolate on all of these albums. It's going to be like if you read the list to yourself.
Yeah.
Except like, we can have one thought that doesn't last like more than 2 seconds, and then we move on to the next person. Yeah. So we're going to talk about a stupid amount of albums, and we'll talk to you in depth about our top like 10. Yeah. But we're not going to be at number 47, just being like, oh, I love the features. I think they could have done this. I think this was really, like, we're not fucking divulging our top 151. You know, we're going to get into them, but we're not.
Yeah, we're just ripping through the list.
It'll probably be like 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, our longer episodes that we've had on, like, other shit have been 3 hours as well.
Exactly. We just like to hear ourselves talk.
I love it. I love myself.
I love myself. But, yeah, so I have 9 honorable mentions that I just want to, like, mention, like, give them shout-outs. And then I have a top 10.
Yeah.
You'll list off a couple. Here, I'll just start and rip through my honorable mentions, then you do yours.
Yep.
So my first one is Microphones of 2020, not including it because it's an album that's a single song. It's a
song. Yeah,
it's technically a song, but I'm not counting it because it's a 45-minute album that's just no tracks. Number two, Boldy James, Surf and Turf. Great fucking track.
That's awesome.
Run the Jewels, Just. Really like that one.
That was your Run the Jewels song. Mine was the 2 Chainz one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I fucking love the Zach De La Rocha feature. One that you put me on, Glass Animals, Tokyo Drifting with Zell.
Oh, wow. Yeah, hell yeah.
That track. I played it constantly. Yeah. The girlfriend fell in love with that track. She's like, I fucking...
Yes, man. Fuck yeah, dude.
Such a good track. Such a good track. J. Cole's The Climb Back, that single.
That's dope. That didn't make any of my lists just because it's... I'm not a single guy, so I never run back to singles.
It was one of my most replayed songs. One that I know you didn't like was Aminé's Pressure in My Palms with Vince and Slow Tie.
I didn't mind it. It just wasn't... I think a lot of people were like, this is great. And I was like, this is decent.
I loved those three on the track together. I wish the Vince and Slow Tie's features were bigger, but I love the beat. I loved it. One Slow that... Tie, go ahead.
I think, like... Aminé and Slow Tie need to work together more because My High is like fucking
stupid. That's one that should be an honorable mention on mine too. Love that track. Another one that may surprise you, Joji doesn't make my top 10. Run is an honorable mention for me.
Okay.
And then my last honorable mention is kind of two songs. Freddie Gibbs, Something to Rap About, and Scotty Beam. I couldn't really pick between the two.
I can't answer that. At first I was like, Scotty Beam, no way. And then I thought about Something to Rap About with the Tyler feature.
Tyler and Freddie are another, they should work together more. I like them together.
Tyler is underappreciated, like lyrically. People love Flower Boy, people love Igor, and then like if you're edgy, you like fucking like Cherry Bomb and Bastard and shit like that. But like I said to someone on Twitter, I think Tyler is one of the best feature artists.
He is really. Like, anything he features on is always fucking golden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Think about Tyler features. Like Goblins vs. Martians with Game. He's slaughtered Game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Game. Like Game isn't crazy lyrically, but he should beat Tyler. But Tyler bodied him. Pusha T. Trouble on My Mind.
Yes, that was one of my most played songs this year too.
Give me a fucking break. I put Austin under that. Shout out to homie Austin. That's my best friend, brother, man. But I put him under that song, and he's not the gangster rap type of guy. Yeah. Fuck, dude. Yeah, 327 off West Side's tape.
Yeah.
Tyler and Badass were on that, and Tyler held his own against. I think West Side got the best verse, and then Tyler. Was like real fucking close behind him.
Yeah. No, he's a damn good feature artist. But yeah, so those are my honorable mentions. You got a few honorable mentions?
I do. So afterthought, Joji and Benny. Benny is like a cool little eclectic social media artist I found this year. This song probably best represents 2020 as a year, just the despondent melancholy of this year.
Yeah.
Perfectly matches the beat for Afterthought. So that's a big one. Hallucinate by Dua Lipa is my personal second favorite from that album. This will get me in some shit in like purist culture, but Me and Your Ghost by Black Bear. That Black Bear album sits really, really low on my album list, but Me and Your Ghost is an incredibly infectious but terrible, terrible song. But I love it.
Yeah,
I love it a lot. Wherever You Go by The Avalanches.
Okay.
Is the best song from that album, and like, I'll get into it next week, but that album feels like you're like in the process of mourning someone and reminiscing on the memories you made with them. So that song is just deep. Lost in Yesterday by Tame Impala is the best song from the Slow Rush, and that's a pretty good album. My High by Disclosure and Slow Tie and Amine, look at that. Banger. Daylight by Joji and Diplo. There's another Joji song.
Yeah, I thought I wouldn't like that one as much, but I do like that track quite a bit.
When I saw Diplo, I was like, it's Diplo. Fuck off. Like, he wears a cowboy hat. He has, like, pop song. Like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. But Joji absolutely bodied that shit. So that's probably the most replayable, most, like, surface level, easy to get into song from Nectar. Yeah. Faith by The Weeknd off After Hours is just, like, it's one of his best songs, dude. Like, that's just like six different songs in one. And then I absolutely adored this song this year, man. Burna Boy. Wonderful.
Okay. Wonderful
is like you're sitting in like at a campfire, and like someone who you don't know can sing just shows you their hidden talent and starts letting go. And the rest of them could, like, dude, if you haven't heard that song, please check out Wonderful by Burna Boy. It is just such a pretty, really freeing, really playful glee. Like, it's just like wearing a warm sweater on a cold day. Just love that fucking song. So those are my honorable mentions. That's 9 honorable mentions for that ass.
Nice. All right. Into the top 10?
Yes, sir.
All right, number 10, one album that I've, like, very vocally loved this year. It's probably my favorite track from it. Open Mike Eagles, Everything Ends Last Year.
That is a really good fucking song. I appreciate
it's really, it's, like, heart-wrenching, and it's really what I love, like, Open Mike Eagle the most, is that kind of shit. Like, because he's still, just the way he delivers is still, like, kind of, like, it doesn't feel depressing. Like, that one's a bit more, but... Yeah. I don't know. It's very melancholic, but I really enjoyed that track. Not too much to say on it, but yeah,
that's also my favorite one. Yeah, it's also really reflective of last year too. Like, just like the idea that everything ended last year, and then this year, or 2020, I guess last year technically, everything ended in 2019, and then 2020 came, and like, you had World War III rumors, and you had floods and fires and a pandemic and like civil unrest and the world just shitting its pants. There were no movies. There was no like concerts. You couldn't go to the theater to like, I think Vin Diesel had one of the biggest movies of the year with that stupid fucking like robot movie that he made.
Doolittle with Robert Downey Jr. was one of the biggest fucking movies of the year.
That's
and then Open Mike Eagle, it's even more. It's like his fucking marriage fell apart. A lot of songs from that tape could have taken this spot for me. Like Black Mirror episode, Sweatpants Spider-Man. I liked a lot of them.
I think my favorite was I'm a Joe Star.
Yeah.
That's the most like casual, most like surface level.
Death Parade's really good too. There's a lot of great tracks on there, but that one I really found encapsulated the album the best, and it's one of my favorite songs of the year.
Well, my number 10 is from the most decorative, lyrically impressive rappers of the past memory, and he who has the greatest vocabulary in hip-hop. My favorite song from Spirit World Field Guide by A$AP Rock is Fixed and Dilated.
That was a great, great track.
It has, like... just like a it sound like the beat sounds like a shimmer as someone like slowly bleeds out and just like what do you call that, like mental vomiting,
verbal diarrhea,
like, verbal, yes, that's it,
yeah,
just like spews like their last thoughts in like a very well structured linear pattern, and it's just like really, really fucking powerful. So that whole album is top to bottom, just not even top to bottom, because the first three songs are noticeably weaker than the rest of it,
yeah,
but three skip three songs in and top to bottom from there, fantastic album.
Yeah.
This is its peak, so it's my number 10.
Yeah, no, I really like that one. It didn't make my honorable mentions, but it definitely could have. Number 9 for me was, you might not have heard it, Scram by Jeff Rosenstock. It was the lead single off of his album No Dream this year. I've talked about Jeff Rosenstock on here a couple times, folk punk guy, pop punk kind of shit. really, really good fucking track. Sounds like every kind of poppy Jeff Rosenstock track, but really liked it. It's just kind of like a tell people to fuck off anthem. Tell people to scram.
Yeah, you got the Rona?
Yeah, I got the Rona. But no, he really good track. It's very reminiscent of Nausea, his biggest single.
Yeah.
And yeah, really, really fucking solid pop punk, folk punk track.
I saw a couple people talking about Jeff Rosenstock. I know he released something, and I just like, I think he made a short list. I think him, Less Than Jake, Sleepy Hollow. There was a handful of people, the 1975. They all made this short list that I was like, if I get to them, I get to them. If not, I won't.
Yeah.
And I didn't. So
Yeah, it got a lot of love in the punk circles. Like a lot of like magazines and shit rated it there. One of their top like rock albums or punk albums, and it was really, really solid tape. It doesn't come close to We Cool or Worry for me, but
yeah,
No Dream was a really good tape.
We Cool is like a really interesting fucking album. I listened to that not too long ago this year, and
it's one of my favorites. I think it made my top 15 all time on when we did the top 100.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I think my Jeff Rosenstock is Nos. Like how you have Jeff Rosenstock is like your darling. One of mine's is Nos. And King's Disease is just in my my top echelon of this year. And my favorite song from that is Replace Me with Big Sean and Don Toliver. So this beat is absolutely fucking stupid. Big Sean has a pretty good feature. Nos is nasty Nos. Like, he's like top 3 or 4 rappers of all time, arguably. But one of my favorite things about this song is actually Don Toliver. Like, this guy comes in and he sounds like, I said this on the last podcast or one of the recent podcasts, but he sounds like if he took like a blues voice like Muddy Waters or like D.B. King. And you just made him like a like codeined up trap artist from like now. He signed to Travis Scott and he just comes in and here's Nasty Nos and Big Sean.
Yeah.
One of the biggest rappers of all time, one of the biggest rappers last decade. And then Hit-Boy with just like absolutely ridiculous production. And I think like Don Toliver has the most infectious hook this year. I just absolutely fucking love this. And I replay this all the time. It gets stuck in my head. Just the hook alone gets stuck in my head all the time. And I'm not mad about it because it's not like one of those annoying songs. You just can't wait for it to leave your head. I've just fully embraced this song. Fucking love this song.
Yeah.
So it's my number 9.
My number 8 is the other, like the one that gets stuck in my head all the time. Probably my most infectious pop song of the year was Rina Sawayama's Comme des Garçons.
That's my favorite song from the album too.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. It's so infectious, that chorus, the Comme des Garçons, like the boys, like the boys.
Yeah,
it's so, oh my God, it gets stuck in my head all the time. Whenever I'm trying to introduce somebody to Rina Sawayama, I show them that song just to like, it's just that super like 2000s pop. Like it just, it feels like Britney Spears era shit.
That's my favorite song from that album. I see a lot of people talk about Bad Friend. I much
Excess gets a lot of love too.
Yeah.
But Comme des Garçons, just that shit hits different. I love that one. Really, really infectious pop song. Great track.
A lot of people I don't see a lot of people talking about it, but one of the more standout tracks for me is the Fuck You one that comes like right before it.
Yeah.
It's like the rock, like a punk rock.
Yeah, pop, she like
pop punk rock, sort of like Freaky Friday finale. Song.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it because I never delved back into it after one of my first listens. I think it was, I gave it like a shuffle after my first listen, and that came back, and then that was the last I listened to it. That's your number seven.
Number eight.
My number eight is the second song. There's only one artist in my top 10 songs who has more than one song. It is Mac Miller.
Hey,
it is my second favorite song from Circles, and it's called Hand Me Downs.
Hey, I kept mine to one per artist, but like it's still the same thing.
I didn't, just because like it's my top 50 songs of 2020, so it's
exactly
that people were gonna show up more than once.
Yeah.
Like Weekend is in my honorable mentions, and then he has one later on in my top 50 as well, or my top 10 as well. But Hand Me Downs is one of the smoothest R&B songs of the past, like recent memory, and R&B has also had like a golden era since 2019, since 2015. I mean, we got Pac, Frank Ocean, Weekend, Joji, Party Next Door, Black. The list goes on and on. We don't even need to start with, like, I mean, you know what? Yes, we do, because of equality. Normani with women. We have Normani. We have SZA, Rihanna's Anti, Beyonce's Lemonade was in there. Her, H-E-R, Snow Allegra, Baby Rose. We talked about this last week on our Women Appreciation episode. Shout out to women. You are far, far underrated in society. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Hand-Me-Downs. Mac Miller is responsible for just one of the most soothing, beautiful, Tiny Desk-ish R&B songs in recent memory. And I absolutely love this song. I heard it played in a pizza joint. In town, actually. I probably told this story on the podcast before, but I was at dinner with Brooke, and shout out to my fiance, I love you to bits, and one of our mutual friends at this like bistro pizza joint here in town, and they were playing Hand-Me-Downs by Mac Miller. So shout out to that pizza place. And shout out to this song, because it's fucking just so like pretty, so like face level, so honest. Yeah.
So much Mac Miller can make my list, like from that Circles album. Really love that album. I have one that comes on later on. But number seven for me, this could piss you off, could piss a couple people off, but I fucking love it, and I think it's a super infectious song. Jack Harlow's What's Poppin'. The original.
Okay.
More than the remix. I prefer the original over the remix. That song I listen to so much, and it's so fun. Like, it's just that, like, turn your fucking brain off and like just brand new whip just top 10. Good options. Capacity, yeah, bitch, like, stop.
Oh, it's like a top 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's such a great infectious, just like fun rap song. I really liked it. I didn't like his new tape as much as I preferred like his older shit. I can only remember the single names. But I didn't like that one as much. But
neither did I.
Yeah, but What's Poppin'? That's an undeniable track, man. That shit's fun.
Yeah, I don't hate you at all for that. I probably had my opinion of it soured because A, it became a TikTok song, and B, I just overplayed it. Like, it's just like it was fucking everywhere. It was like a party rock anthem in 2009. Shout out to people older than 10 that were around for that shit, dude. That was like, dude, one of the biggest fucking songs of all time at that point in time.
It's like fucking Kiki, Do You Love Me? Fucking.
Yeah, dude. Fucking In My Feelings. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It was a
huge fucking song. Yeah, so that's my number seven.
It's on my 151 list because it's the best song off of Sweet Action.
Mm-hmm.
It's original project.
Action. I like Sweet Action quite a bit.
Sweet Action placed much, much, much higher than That's What They All Say.
I think I left it off my list. Okay, well, I got to throw it on.
86, baby. Yeah, keep backing her up, man. Let's go. Hand Me Downs is my number eight. My number seven is Selfless by The Strokes.
Oh, okay.
I played it at work today. I love the chords. It's such a delicate song. the drumming is so shy and yields very much to the vocal performance and to the strings, and it's just a very, again, it's kind of like what I was talking about with Mac Miller. It's just a very intimate, face level, honest song. It sounds like you'd see it in a teen movie, in the I'm falling in love with the guy scene,
where
they're sitting on like the hood of a car watching the stars and just being really honest with each other. And it feels like that for a reason, just because it's a very like silky, lovely, lovely fucking song, and I love it. So it's my number 7, man.
Nice, yeah. Number 6 for me is one of the biggest songs of the year. I won't say much about it. I'm a basic bitch picking this song off the album, but Weeknd's Blinding Lights.
Okay, like, yeah. That one didn't actually make my top 10.
It's just, there's so many songs you can pick off that album. That album's fucking great. But Blinding Lights, like, you hear it so much, but I never get sick of that track. I think it's so fucking good.
Actually, so that song is a 2019 song, and it placed, where did it place? Number 11 on my 2019 list.
Oh, fuck, okay. It counts as 2019, yeah. But
I mean, dude, like, it was fucking everywhere this year. Yeah. Like, I'm not faulting you for putting it this year. Yeah. You gotta be
kidding. Well, fucking, I almost put a Watermelon Sugar as my number one song of this year, but then I realized it's 2019. So.
Number one, you would have put a number one.
I fucking love that song. Harry Styles is a goddamn icon.
I'm not hating on that at all. I'm about to hate on you a little bit later on. just because I know you talk off. But for Watermelon Sugar, no sir. I applaud that. That is a fucking incredible song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So Blinding Lights, dude. Yeah, no, Blinding Lights definitely deserves that spot. Yeah, this thing. Okay, so Blinding Lights came out on like November like 20th last year, the single, and then the album by The Weeknd dropped March. It might have been March 20th. It might have been March 20th.
It was a weekend of lockdown. I remember I was moving my girlfriend out of my place.
I'll get to that in a little bit, just because I have a Weeknd song up top. But yeah, Blinding Lights took over this year. Like, that shit was everywhere. Plus, it has one, in my opinion, has one of the best music videos like ever.
Oh yeah, like, that is a great fucking music video.
Like him just getting the shit kicked out of him and then speeding on the highway just high as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole. Like, I'll talk about that next week. But that album is chef's.
So, like, theatrics of that album is, crazy.
It reminds me, I'll reiterate this again next week just because I'm going to talk about it, but it reminds me of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I say too.
Right? Just like, you, just like a guy totally high out of his mind in like really sharp dress clothes, just looking for something. Like, that's so dope. Like, I fucking love that album. Okay. So, that's, what are we, number 6 now?
Yeah.
My number 6 is, my very first song of the year. And I swore to God it was going to be number 1 for, like, months and months. This is my, like, little Sims as far as songs go.
Yeah.
It is Guilty Conscience by 070 Shake.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Off of the album Modus Vivendi.
Yeah. I thought you were about to say some Dua Lipa.
No. That's coming up, but it's not. It's number, this is 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is my number 6. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I first heard it on the second best podcast of all time, the Joe Budden podcast.
Yeah. And this is obviously the best.
I got to say that because I'm on the Off the Dome podcast, but I owe everything I have as far as like presenting my opinions in music to Joe Budden, because I've been following that guy since that shitbag show from Complex that he got himself fired from after creating. So I absolutely adore Joe Budden, but he played this song on the podcast like the day it came out, and it just stopped me in my tracks. I was walking to the laundry room to put in laundry, and just he started playing it, and he starts like screaming, and like him and the boys are just going absolutely wild when the beat drops. And I was like, what is this? Like, I was just enamored by this song. So, very quickly, I realized that it was 070 Shake. very quickly it got added to my playlist, and very quickly I had it in constant rotation. 070 Shake has a pretty good album this year. Under the Moon is another really good song. I believe that's just toward the bottom of my top 50. No, it's a couple spots in, about 10, 15 spots in. But the clear winner for me is Guilty Conscience. That is an incredible body of work, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great track. Number five for me, there's two songs here. For me, Gorillaz, they had two phenomenal fucking singles this year in Pac-Man and Momentary Bliss. Wanted to give them both shout-outs. But Pac-Man, I think, is my number five song. That's the one with Schoolboy.
Yeah,
Momentary Bliss is a great track with Slow Tie, but fuck, man. Gorillaz with Schoolboy Q, who knew we needed that bad? That shit's so good. So good.
That lost my number one spot to Chalk Table. What's it called? It's called... Fuck, here, keep talking. I'll find it.
But yeah, just like, I didn't know that 2D and fucking Schoolboy Q was the duo we needed this year. I, like, one of the best Gorillaz songs to come out in a while, and fucking Schoolboy, like, goes fucking hard on
that
it.
That beat is stupid.
Yeah, it's, that is, like, the, yeah, that was one of the best fucking tracks this year. Honestly, it's better than my next song, but, we'll get to that when I get to that. You know it's coming.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there. But yeah, no, fucking Pac-Man was so good. Momentary Bliss was really good, but Pac-Man just fucking kills it, man.
Chalk Tablet Towers is the one I'm thinking of. It is with Saint Vincent. And
oh, yes.
Dope song.
Yeah.
Pac-Man might actually win that. I think that Chalk Tablet Towers just felt like it was more like ethereal for them. Like they just needed to get something off their chest, whereas Pac-Man is just them vibing with Schoolboy, which is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
So that's your number five?
Mm-hmm.
My number five is Tokyo Drifting by Glass Animals.
Hey!
I played this song. The very first time I heard this song, I was on Artist Radio on Spotify after listening to probably Unlocked.
Yeah.
Or something by Mac. And this song came on, and I thought it was, like, a little, like, who the fuck? I thought it, like, I applauded it, because it was, like, a really bassy, well-produced song that sounded like a SoundCloud song. Like, it sounded like it should have been, like, an amateur, like, wannabe R&B heavyweight.
Yeah,
I was just really enamored by like Playboi Carti-esque cloud rap or Lil Uzi Vert cloud rap, and they could kind of sing. Like
yeah,
they
had
friends. They were like drinking like at parties, and they like sung as a joke. And their one friend was like, "Yo, you can kind of sing." So they made this like cloud song, and then the horns, they do like the like fucking bridge, and then they're like da 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 fucking horns in, and then the bass drops, and I paused it, and I was like, Brooke, like my fiance again, shout out to you. You got to hear this. And I played it for her, and I was like, is that not like absolutely fucking ridiculous? And she's hard to please. She's hard to impress for music. And even she was like, okay, that's absolutely fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And then Denzel comes in. I hadn't even listened to Denzel yet. I hadn't gotten to Denzel's part. I was just enamored by the fucking bass and the horns. And then, boom, here comes one of my favorite rappers of the past, like, 3 or 4 years. You know, we talked about him last night on DM.
Yeah.
I kind of came off as hating a little bit because I put him below.
No, not at
all. ASAP Rocky, Travis Scott, and J. Cole, who are, like, three of the best rappers. Like, top 100 of all time, of them, say. And then Denzel is just, like, working his way up there. So he's not there for me yet, but much love to Denzel. And, yeah, he comes in, you know, and he's just rapping his ass off. It's like he was sent a beat by, like, fucking Jay-Z or, like, Slim Shady or, like... those rappers that like you know you have to like go hard in the paint for. So boom, like what a recipe for a fucking amazing song. Just some like amateur cloud rap, like uphill battle shit. Incredible horn pattern with like more like layered synthetic singy vocals. Absolutely stupid Denzel verse. Bring the bass and the horns back in for like an interlude lead out. And then just a little like, you know, skate away moment.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, that's fucking phenomenal.
No, yeah, that is a fucking phenomenal track. I got into Glass Animal. I was pretty big into him. I saw them live in like 2017, 2016. And just like the coolest trippy shit. And then you showed me they had a song with fucking Zell. And it's so fucking good, man. So fucking good, yeah.
Yeah. That's my number five. That's a phenomenal track.
Number four, the objective best song of the year. It was Pitchfork's number one song of the year. Anthony Fantano's number two song of the year. My number four song of the year. The best song. WAP by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. I get why some people don't like it. I think it's mad fucking infectious. It was my most played song that released in 2020 on my Spotify wrap up. Most played song of the year. It was my number eight overall. It was my number one from this year. Number one from this year was Sugar by Brockhampton.
Okay.
But, dude, it's so good. It's so good. It's so fun. It's a great song. Many quotables on it. Like,
it's called Wet Ass Pussy.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally called Wet Ass Pussy. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's ball. Like, and then it's Megan Thee Stallion, who is one of the best rappers out right now. And then it's Cardi B, who, like, she did, Invasion of Privacy, exploded onto the scene for better or worse to me. I don't really care much for the album, but huge album. One hip-hop album at the Grammys. Again, I talked last week how that argument is better when it yields to you. So here is it yielding to Cardi B. She won a hip-hop album at the Grammys. So, she's on top of the world. And then she has that, like, high school relationship where, like, you break up, you get back together the next week. Someone cheated, they broke up, they get back together the next week. And, like, that grew very, very tired very quickly.
Yeah.
If her voice didn't already get tired for you. And then she links up with Megan Thee Stallion and creates this lightning in a bottle song, Wet Ass Pussy. Yeah. Calls it Wet Ass Pussy. And uses the sample from Sir Mix-a-Lot. There's some hoes. Yeah. This hoes.
Mm-hmm. I love the sample on it. I think Megan is really fucking good on it. I'm not a Cardi guy, but it's just so many quotables. It's fun. It's like, I like it too because so many people fucking hated it because it was like this overtly sexual women's anthem kind of thing.
No, I like, love that shit.
Yeah, I love it. And it's just, it's just so like proud to be fucking this like over sexual song, and it's so fun. Like, it's like the when you're getting ready to go, you're getting ready to like go out. Like, you can't go out now, but like fucking in Halifax, you kind of can because we did a lot better with COVID than everywhere else. You're getting ready, like, you just feel yourself to that fucking song, man.
Well, dude, I think that's my problem. Is like it's like it's pedestaled for what it did. It's like N.W.A. And it's like Fuck the Police. They called it Wet Ass Pussy. For fucking, like, literally centuries, women have been molded into this mentality of what men want them to be.
Yeah.
And you got to think of, like, Madonna and Lady Gaga and Christina Aguilera and, like, when they came out, everyone, like, remember when Lady Gaga first came out and there was rumors that she was a man because she was, like, she was talking about disco stick and everyone was like, oh, she's a boy. And, like, women have just been torn down time after time after time for being overtly sexual in their music, and they get slut shamed and they get, you know, ridiculed. And in the end, you know what happens anyways? They become fucking revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
They become iconic. Everyone who's pushed that fucking boundary has been ridiculed and fought for it. And then 5, 10, 15, 30, 40 years down the road, we look back at Madonna and go, you know, even though she was talking about like a virgin and like, I want to be fucked, and like I want to just empower my own like sexuality, and I want to just be confident as a sexually active, promiscuous woman. Why is that a bad thing? So here comes Megan and Cardi, and they make a song called Wet Ass Pussy. Boom. Mm-hmm. You do not get more like full frontal in your face than calling a song Wet Ass Pussy.
I like it because like some people are like, oh, there should be subtlety in that and like some poetry in it. And it's like people like No Name even will put like subtlety into their sexuality and their poetry and shit. No, that it's so good because it's so there's no subtlety. They're like, fuck you, like fuck me in the mouth.
They're
just like, I want you to park your Big Mac truck in my little garage. Like, no, they're like, this shit sounds like a fucking pot of macaroni. Like, I love it. It's so good.
Yeah, dude. That's the best thing of this song, is that women don't need to apologize for having sexuality at all. Men never have.
Yeah.
Let's make one thing apparently clear. The only time men have is when Elvis did the same thing with the gyrating hips and they were like, fuck this guy. And then look now. Who is the greatest musician of all time? It's not Elvis. It's the Beatles. But when people make that short list, Elvis is in like a lot of those.
A true revolutionary. Like,
even though he stole rock and roll, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Rock and roll started with Chuck Berry. Rock and roll started with Little Richard. Yeah. You know, Elvis stole that shit, so fuck that guy. But his gyrating hips was super provocative.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, when have men done anything sexually overt that has gotten them in trouble? Next to never. When have women? Quite a lot. Mm. Quite a lot. And this Wet Ass Pussy song comes out, and it's so unabashedly sexually provocative. And oh my God, throw your hands in the air. Ben Shapiro can get on his soapbox and talk about his wife.
I was going to say Ben Shapiro,
Fuck that guy. And to me, I don't like it just because I don't like the song.
Yeah, no, I get that. I genuinely enjoy listening to it.
To me, I feel like it makes the shortlist for you, for Fantano, and for Pitchfork or Billboard or whoever made the list. Because of that, because of the boundaries it broke. And if that's the case, then like, great, but just call a spade a spade.
It rises up that, but like, it genuinely was one of my most listened to songs because I genuinely enjoyed listening to it. Yeah. And like, I like putting it on. I don't put it on ironically. I put it on like, because me and my friend, like, we fucking, I like it. I genuinely like the listening beat to it.
And the verses and shit like that. And if that's the case, then all the more power to you. I disagree. But we just talked about all this for a reason. I have endless amounts of respect for Megan Thee Stallion and for Cardi and anyone else just pushing the boundaries forward for sexualization. And not so much for sexualization, but for
empowering your sexuality.
The freedom to say so. Like, why do you have to censor yourself for anyone? Fuck that.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
hats off to you. I don't really like the song. I think the beat is a little lazy. I think it's dependent on the sample the same way that that one Pitbull song is reliant on the whistle in the background.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I'm not everyone and everyone is not me. So if you got it atop your list and it's for the sake of the song, all the more power to you, dude.
Yeah. What's your number four?
Dua Lipa, Levitating. That's one of the most infectious pop songs of all time to me. Dua Lipa is one of my favorite people in the world. I'm not going to give a spiel like I just did on Wet Ass Pussy because Levitating doesn't demand a spiel. Mm-hmm. I think this should be the leading single from this mixtape or this album. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. It fell to Love Again, which is like a great, great song, but not top like two or three single worthy songs to me, but that just speaks to the quality of future nostalgia. My number four is Levitating by Dua Lipa. That's
another infectious one. Number three for me is the funkiest fucking song of the year. One of the most underrated artists out, Thundercat, man, Dragon Ball Durag.
Really,
That shit's so funky. It's so nice to throw on and just, like, vibe to, air quotes. Like, just fucking vibe out to it. You throw it on. That whole album, It Is What It Is, is, and anything by fucking Thundercat, is just, yeah, it's so nice to just throw on in the background. Dragon Ball Durag is really good. I think it's, Is It Funny Thing was the other big one off there. It's huge on TikTok and shit right now. But Dragon Ball Durag, I think it's a great fucking track. It's super easy listening. I could throw it on any time. One of my more played, higher played songs. And yeah, it's just funky as shit.
Yeah, I never got into Dragon Ball Durag like that. I never got into It Is What It Is quite like that, if I'm being honest. I know my favorite song is the Zach Fox song.
Yeah, yeah. It's
talking about being in like a tinfoil jacket or a silver jacket on a plane, like a blowjob. And he's just like, Zach Fox, just being Zach Fox is like, is that Thundercat? Whoa, good job, brother. Or whatever he says. And it's just like, just them being as fucking like Harold and Kumar as they are. It's a hilarious duo of shit fucks. But Dragon Ball Durag was very popular with like Fantano and a lot of Fantano's collective of fans. So pretty big song. I went in one ear and out the other for me. Yeah. But that's
there is some like crossovers on my list of Fantano and shit. I am a recovered Fantano addict. I have not watched him all year. I did watch his year end shit, but he has no sway in my opinions. I do not let Anthony Fantano choose my favorites. So
Anthony put you onto a lot of shit. Anthony put a lot of people onto a lot of shit. I've talked to you before about how I believe Anthony Fantano cannot destroy a career, but he absolutely can make one.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? Well, like, I found Brockhampton through him, and I have the fucking couch tattooed on my leg. Like, so I owe a lot of my music, like, findings from him, but yeah, I'm, like, distancing myself from that because don't want any influence. I don't want people to think I have influence on it. But I did see, after making my list and watching his, I'm like, fuck, there's crossover.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where I see your lists and I see his lists, and I'm like, okay, Connor is like, I know you're a big fan of Anthony Fantano. And for good reason. I mean, he's the fucking melon. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to dislike him, but sometimes, yeah, it's just like, when you subscribe to him, you know, when you're just like, he's got like his opinions for a reason and he's got great taste. Sometimes, like I said, he has shit fucking opinions. Like, he gave Swimming a 3.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you on? You give Daughters a 10. Yeah, there's some times where I'm just like, this guy's out of his element. Like, he's a metal, and not metal, but he's like a gore dread fan before hip-hop. So his hip-hop opinions usually tend to be, you know, whatever is visceral and sharp. Like, he put Billy Woods and the rapper from Clipping in the top 50 rappers of all time. Ask anyone who's been listening to hip-hop for more than 5 years. That's not even remotely fucking true, especially when you're leaving DMX off the list. It is what it is. No pun intended, but...
But number three for you.
After Hours, the title track. So this did come out this year. This was a month or two before the album, January, February. This song I was listening to when everything shut down, and it was like a paused moment in time. I was on the bus driving home from work, or riding home from work, I guess, and I checked Twitter, and in the span of 2 minutes, I found out Tom Hanks has coronavirus. The NBA officially canceled their season, and the U.S. stopped travel to Europe because of coronavirus. That was the moment, that was like a night where everything shut down. I got home from work, and I walked by a woman in the lobby who was being taken out on a stretcher for respiratory problems.
Yeah.
Like, I could see her like breathing and panting heavily. And in my head, I deemed her as a coronavirus patient. I confirmed a couple weeks later that she didn't have it, and it was just like her going through some shit. But like, that was like where it went from like this like trivial disease that started in China and will be over in 2 weeks to being like a fucking massive problem. And it was jammed in my face all at once. And the soundtrack to that night and to the whole pandemic and to the whole year because of it is After Hours. Every time I hear like the tolling, like bamboo bell at the beginning of this song, it brings me right back to like just this state of like everything from here on out is up in the air. Everything like in society, like flights, concerts, gatherings, family meeting, work, and like my job, and like my pay, and like my hobbies, and like, dude, everything was up in the air. And when I listened to that intro, this reminds me of that. And it's just so visceral, and it reminds me of 2020 in a nutshell. And for better or worse, it's also a fucking phenomenal song. And just like as a return, like he did Heartless, club banger. He did Blinding Lights, radio banger. And then he did this as his final single from After Hours before the release of the album. Yeah. And this wasn't either of those. This was just like a sharp, visceral, bassy, melodic, heartbroken song.
Yeah. You know? And phenomenal track.
That is why it's my number three, because it's just potent in my mind as a reflection of 2020.
Yeah. No, my top ones are not that poetic as to why they are. That's my deep. Number two. my number three was, it's really funky.
yeah, Dragon Ball Durag, it's a great song. It's
really number that. My number two is probably my favorite like pure hip hop track of the year, from my Highest Rising and Fastest Rising album of this year. Denzel Curry, Kenny Beats, Diet _.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, man.
So number one is your number one. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Denzel Curry and Kenny Beats, Diet. That is my favorite single off there. I also really like Lay Up. I like everything off that fucking tape. It's so good. Denzel and Kenny Beats bring the best shit out of each other. It's so, so fucking good. But Diet, it's hard hitting. It's fucking fantastic. Denzel has great bars on it. Kenny Beats' production is fucking top tier. It's always good, but it's just like even elevated on this. Fucking love that track.
I feel like Superman wearing a shield, or not even wearing a shield, but like people shooting at Superman because it bounces off of him. Whenever I would talk to people about my favorite albums of this year, I talked about Unlocked, and every time people would be like, really? Like, why is it that high? And I'd be like, yeah, why is it that high? And I'd go and listen to it again. And it's only a 25-minute project, so I would listen to the full thing again. And I'd be like, no, it's not. It's still confidently up there. Like, it's still, like, top 10, top 5 area.
Yeah.
No, like, obviously, that's a spoiler for next week. But, I mean, who gives a fuck at this point? Unlocked is a phenomenal, phenomenal tape. My favorite, as I said to you earlier, is track 7. I was playing Spider-Man at the time that I listened to that, and track 7 is like the perfect backdrop song for just like swinging around the city as like this like young dumb kid who doesn't give a fuck about fuck all.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then it's just like packed with samples and shit like that. But Diet is the most Denzel Curry song of all the songs on this album. So,
yeah. That's why like I'm a huge Denzel guy, obviously. It showcases him the best on there. And I love everything about that track. It's fucking awesome. It's so like eternally replayable. Like
Dragon Ball Durag is a recommended song for this playlist.
Really?
It's up here. And finish your thought.
No, just, I was finished. Like, just, I love that track. That's sick.
So also a recommended song for this playlist, did not make my top 50, is Good News by Mac Miller. Instead, my number two song of the year is my preferred sentimental song from Circles. It is actually the title track.
Two title Circles. Tracks back to back.
Circles. After Hours and Circles by Mac Miller is just shattering. If you grew up on Mac Miller the way that I did, as soon as you press play on this album, it is like soft, Face Value, Let Me Be Honest With You chords. And he goes into like, this is what it looks like right before I fall. And then he just, this did for me what Good News did for Anthony Fantano and everyone who watches Anthony Fantano.
Yeah.
Good News received the attention that I felt Circles the title track deserved, especially because it's the intro to the album.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm not going to get too much more into it because there's not much more to say. This song broke my heart. Mac Miller broke my heart when he passed. Rest in peace to him.
Mm-hmm.
And this, yeah, I don't know how to put into words how beautifully shattering Circles is, but it's just so honest and so loving and so delicate a song that it's just like, there's only, obviously it's not my number one spot, so there's one that's shot higher than it, but
yeah,
it's right there, man.
I stayed pretty quiet on that one because my number one is what the masses who perceived. It's Good News by Mac Miller. That one, if you watched our bracket on Mac Miller too, I love this track. I think it's a phenomenal track. Yeah, like you, I don't have too much to say about it. It's just, it struck me to the core. It felt very personal to me. I related to it pretty well. Yeah, it's a really fucking beautiful track. I don't think anybody has anything bad to say about Good News. I think a lot of Mac Miller songs could have landed on there. I love Surf. I love Hand Me Downs. I loved most of the songs on that.
Blue Worlds is dope.
Yeah.
Fucking That's On Me is crazy. Hands, dude. Wood. Yeah.
It's a great album. It sat at the top of my list for a lot of 2020. And it was like the first album that I listened to in 2020. No, beautiful, beautiful fucking track. Yeah, I just have a Good News, which fucking people who are like, oh, you just listen to Fantano. I had a very personal connection to that song. I don't give a fuck that Fantano cried when he was listening to it, because I felt the same emotions.
Yeah, I think that kind of ruins the perception, because there's people like yourself who like did have like a personal connection with it. And yeah. Like, I think when people like think about Good News, they think about how Fantano cried, and it's like now the song that like, well, because Fantano spent Mac Miller's life shitting on him, and as soon as he passed, now he's crying to a song from him. It's like, okay, like fuck off, dude. But yeah. I know you got into Mac before he passed. You saw what was beautiful about Swimming, and then you saw what was beautiful about Circles.
Yeah.
So now when people think about Good News, it is like, oh, that's the song that Fantano cried to. I did that like 10 minutes ago, so my bad. My bad.
But it's like, yeah, it was one that was very personal to me, and it hit me in the heart. And yeah, I fucking love that track, but yeah, I don't have too much to say about it. Everybody knows about it. Everybody knows it's a sad song.
Guilty but, association, yeah.
But what takes your number one?
Run. Joji.
Yeah, I assume that was your number one too. It just fell off my top 10 and was a honorable mention for me. I just because I didn't go back to it too much.
Yeah, dude, this like, I remember I talked to Justin. Shout out Justin. I know he's actually listening to this, so shout out, homie. He was like, yo, listen to Run. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I don't listen to singles. Fuck that. Because I'm notoriously anti-single. That's why J. Cole. Yeah. Despite having a fucking phenomenal song, didn't make my list anywhere because I never went back to it. Yeah. But I think I bit the bullet and was like, okay, like, fuck. Like, I probably burned through two or three albums and was like, let me just toss on this single because I don't have time for another album.
Yeah.
And Run from, like, the very beginning just, like, was, like, just a moment. This is, to me, like, very much like Bohemian Rhapsody, not to be like the basic white bitch.
It's like an epic.
Yeah, it's just like there's so many different like peaks and valleys. There's so much to love about this track. You can literally pull it apart like a Lego or a Bionicle and just be like, what is this element about? Like, the guitar solo is ridiculous. His like solo vocals on the actual verses are pained. The layering when he says run, like he drags out run over a multi-syllable and changes the notes up and down. Yeah. There's like, that is like, like every element that goes into this is perfect. The intro guitar, like before it even gets to the solo, is just, dude, like, yeah, this I feel like I'm going to look back on in like years and be like, no, Run was like an epic, dude, and just like a cultural moment. And then it kicked off, I mean, that Gimme Love and Sanctuary kicked off my love for Nectar, which is just like, I've played that at work three times over the past two or three days, and it's just like, it went from an 8 to like a 9, 9.5, like that.
Oh, wow.
All the songs that I was like, this is good, but I don't really care for it before, have grown on me a lot. Yeah. The only songs that I don't really care for are... the Yves Tumor one, Reanimator.
Yeah.
And one that I didn't like before. Lil Yachty? No, the Lil Yachty one, I always did like that one.
Okay.
I always did like that one because I have a soft spot for Yachty.
Yeah.
I think Yachty is cool fashionably, but makes terrible music.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I think Lil Yachty is a really cool person when you see him in, like, interviews and you hear him in, like, pop culture. It's like Lil Yachty symbolized, like, pure hatred for the new era of hip-hop because it was like his hair was colored and he shit-talked Biggie and like he was just everything that everyone hated about non-golden era appreciating hip-hop. And then he just faded off into obscurity because Lil Boat was a moment in time and he never matched it.
Yeah.
So for that reason, yeah, I've always had like this weird respect for Lil Yachty just as like a guy. And I've always had a soft spot for his track. But the other one that I'm talking about is about flights. Mm-hmm. It is called Upgrade, and I don't care for that. Every other track has grown substantially. Like, Mr. Hollywood, I remember I didn't care for it. Love it. Justin, shout out to you, man. Like You Do is an absolutely beautiful piece of music.
That's definitely our buddy Justin, if you've listened before. It's definitely his track of the year. No, he has a soft spot for it.
I remember he talked to me about, he'll talk to you about it next week, but it's huge for him and his lady. And I get it, man. I get it. That's such a beautiful, beautiful fucking song. Normal People, way better than I remember it being. Nitrous, didn't hate it half as much as I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok, I love the like diesel engine. Like, I just drank
some
diesel engine oil and I'm going to sing like a power ballad. I love that.
Yeah. So,
but Run is just like just
That is my favorite track on that album. But that's our top 10.
What was your number one? Was Good News?
Good News.
Oh shit! Okay, that's
good.
That's it. Wait, recap your list, man. I thought I missed a spot.
Open Mic Eagle, Everything Ends Last Year, Jeff Rosenstock's Graham, Rina Sayawama, Comme des Garçons. Jack Harlow, What's Poppin', Weekend Blinding Lights, Gorillaz, Pac-Man, Cardi B's WAP, Thundercat, Dragon Ball, Durag, Denzel Curry, and Kenny Beats, Diet, and Denzel, Mac Miller, and Mac Miller, Good News.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my top 10.
I was probably forgetting Denzel. Mine is Aesop, Fixed and Dilated, Nas, Big Sean, Don Toliver, Replace Me, Mac Miller, Hand Me Downs, Strokes, Selfless, 070 Shake, Guilty Conscience, Glass Animals and Denzel Curry, Tokyo Drifting, Dua Lipa, Levitating, Weekend After Hours, Mac Miller, Circles, and Joji's Run.
Beauty.
Top 10 songs. We ran longer than we anticipated both of us. I'm sorry, man. I got to let you go.
Yeah, no, I got to hop off. But yeah, that does it for like the part one of the year and wrap up. We'll be back next week and we're going to run through all the albums. Before we go, can't leave without saying, didn't want to get into it at the beginning, but rest in peace, MF Doom. Lost a fucking legend this week. Fucking
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to delve into it. It's still pretty fresh. But yeah, man, we lost a
the actual fucking legend, in MF Doom, man.
Rest in peace, Daniel Dumoulin. Rest in peace, MF Doom as well. But the human being, Daniel Dumoulin, yeah, man. The villain, man. Broke a lot of people's hearts. That is the greatest, like, unquestionably the best internet rapper of all time.
Yeah.
Like, you have your circles when people talk about, like, Nas did Illmatic and Snoop made Doggy Style and, like, such and such did these projects. The internet, like, the people who, like, really, like, they're, like, really, like, on the internet scrounging for albums, like, MF Doom is at the top of their list, big time.
Food, so. Operation Doomsday, Mad Villain, Mad Villainy, like...
The illest villains, fucking Born Like This.
That's a rough one to take, but yeah, so before we head off, we gotta at least say something. Rest in peace, MF Doom. Shouts out to his family. Hope they're doing well.
Shout out to the family. Yeah.
Well, man, they kept it quiet for a long time. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, he passed on Halloween, and we didn't find out until New Year's Eve.
Yeah. So. Okay. But yeah, that does it for episode 27, year end wrap up part 1.
Let's go, baby. All right, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys.
Bye guys. Bye.